This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Spring is having a fitful start here in Wisconsin, but we're ready to start thinking about, maybe dreaming about, picnics and outdoor potlucks. What better dish to bring along than a pasta salad? Now, some people might say pasta salads are bland, unimaginative. That gives the whole side dish a bad rap. But today's Food Friday guest has made it his life's mission to give pasta salad its day in the sun. Not literally. It might go bad if it sits there all day. He's with us to share recipes and tips for lifting up your pasta salad. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite kind of pasta salad? Secret ingredient you like to add that makes yours extra special? If you are anti-pasta salad, what is your problem with it? Maybe our guest has a fix for you. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tom Jackson is a chef and creative director and co-creator of the food media brand Twisted. His cookbook is called Cool Pasta, Reinventing the Pasta Salad. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for that intro. You hit on some pretty crucial points, I must say.
Now, you write in your book, Tom, that you're on a lifelong mission to rescue pasta salad from that bad rap I mentioned. Why? What made you dive headfirst into the pasta salad?
It's a big question. Okay, the first would probably be the dish itself and my personal experience with it, right? Because I'm sure at some point we'll come on to the disparity between UK pasta salad experience and US pasta salad experience. Of course, pasta salad was born in the US. And then secondly, I'd probably say it was kind of the secondary meaning to the title, really, but also to the word cool. Like, why, like, where did it all go wrong for pasta salad? What even is cool? Like, why have the big wigs decided that pasta salad's, you know, not trendy anymore? And I think it's deserving of, you know, I think dishes that kind of represent that kind of divisive, divisiveness just need investigating a little bit, need poking at. And that has always fascinated me. My lifelong mission. I'm going to draw a line under this book and hopefully I've completed it.
This is a good book for me, Tom, because I usually like pasta salad when other people make it. When I make pasta salad, for a variety of reasons, it's not good. The texture, the flavor of the pasta, the material doesn't stick to it. And reading your book, I see the multiple things I'm doing wrong to my pasta salads. Let's start with that texture. When we're making the pasta for the pasta salad, what do we need to do to make sure it isn't, you know, gummy or oversaturated or whatever?
Yeah, sure. So like texture is like the guiding principle behind the entire book, right? So everything that we're doing is pointing towards texture. The first thing you got to do is remember that, pasta is essentially a sponge for liquid, right? So one of the biggest faux pas out there, and I've read it on countless different food websites and notable food publishers, they say overcook your pasta for pasta salad. That is terrible advice. Please do not follow it. And this is why, right? If you were to overcook your pasta salad and you were to rinse it, which I'm sure we'll come on to a little bit more, rinse it. What that does is it cools it down, and it changes the starches without getting too sciencey on it. Basically, it will change the way that it eats in the mouth. So, you know, if it's undercooked and you rinse it, it might go crunchy. But you have to remember that pasta salads are designed to rest a little bit. They're designed to get to know the other ingredients around them. And all of those ingredients contain moisture. So the best thing to do for texture and to get it right is to use al dente pasta. And obviously you can ignore that if you hate al dente pasta, but I guarantee you after 20 minutes, half an hour, by the time you come to serve or by the time you arrive in the park, you're going to have the buenissimo texture that you're really looking for. And I guess the second one, which we've kind of touched on, the M word, I'm going to say it's mayonnaise. I think that for me is one of the, especially here in the UK, I do believe that that's the root cause of the bad rap over here. I think that does deteriorate the texture, not least if it's left out in the sun, like you mentioned, that's the worst.
I do like mayonnaise a lot, maybe not as much in pasta salad. Okay, if I want to start a punch up, I think among food writers, Tom, ask them what's the best way to cook pasta: salt, oil, rinse, all that stuff. is there like a main model you use for cooking that pasta that's going to go into the pasta salad?
Well, the interesting thing about, so usually for hot pasta, you'd use a big pot. I mean, this is a rule of thumb. You'd use a big pot of water. It's, you know, it's not as salty as the sea. That's also bad advice. But it's pretty salty, right? You dip your finger in it if you've got asbestos hands, and you taste it and it tastes salty. For pasta salad, you don't need a huge pot of, well, for pasta salad, you don't need a huge pot of water, which is great because it can come to the boil a little bit quicker. And the reason is for the majority of the recipes in the book, not all, but for the majority, you're going to be rinsing the pasta to a certain degree. And you can do that a little bit. You can do it a lot. You can rinse it all the way down to room temperature or air temperature. So you can use less water, provided that the pasta is covered and you're keeping things moving. That's all good. Don't put oil in the water. That's bad advice, whether pasta's hot or cool. I'd say that's kind of it. But one thing you do need to do and think about, if you are rinsing your pasta, you do need to salt the water a little bit more heavily. As the pasta's cooking in the water, it's absorbing that salt content in the water, and it's becoming delicious. So you might need to compensate. And there's a little guide in the book, but you know, everyone should really use salt to taste, of course. That's how I cook pasta for pasta salad. I find it a little bit easier and less stressful. Cool pasta generally is less stressful than hot pasta.
We are talking to Tom Jackson on this week's edition of Food Friday. His cookbook is called Cool Pasta, Reinventing the Pasta Salad. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have strong feelings about pasta salad, pro or con, a favorite recipe, a question for our guest. If you make bad pasta salad like I do, join in at 800-642-1234. Tom, we know revenge is best served cold, I guess at fridge temperature. What's the best temperature to serve most pasta salads? Is it like right out of the fridge temperature, room temperature? Where should it be?
Yeah, so I like to call it air temperature. Room temperature. Generally speaking, because I think, you know, pasta salad tastes best in an alfresco location. I'm going to go with air temperature or room temperature. So many things, I'm sure, you know, when people have left a pot of soup that's super hot, right? I know that everyone's really hungry. Everyone wants to eat the really hot soup. But if you taste it, or you put it in your mouth at least, you're not tasting a huge amount. If you leave it to cool down 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you'll notice that you're tasting a huge amount more. And that's just a simple, you know, biological thing, right? So eat it at air temperature. It's the same thing. Like, there's a spectrum, right? If it's super hot or if it's right out of the fridge, it's not going to taste as good. So I think you should be ideally eating it fresh, once rested, at air temperature. Friends should be there. You know, you should be near some grass or some flowers, maybe. That's when it tastes best.
Let's check out a recipe. You've got one that you've shared with us. We have it at WPR.org/food. This is a great one in Wisconsin. We love corn and stuff here. And this is a pasta salad called the corn one. Tell us about this.
It's, you know, I was strapped for names. It was actually a late entry into the book, because I'd realized I had a few corn concepts, right? And I knew the book was going to be heading out to the States. And I was like, it'd be criminal not to include a corn one. So that's how I landed on the name. And it's a really, really simple recipe. There's not heaps of other ingredients in it. Some of my friends that have made it have, you know, added stuff and, you know, go for it. Really, it's all about the corn and the seeds in it, which are toasted like super dark. So there's pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds in there. And there's mint, and then there's Parmesan. So it's a little bit of a play on elotes, which is obviously a very popular dish across America, but originated in Mexico, which contains cajeta cheese, which is vaguely similar to Parmesan. And it's just so simple. I like to use one of my favorite tools in the kitchen is a NutriBullet or Power Blender, right? And you just whack the cheese in there, blitz it up, it takes 2 seconds, whack it in a bowl with lemon, olive oil. So you don't make a vinaigrette. It all dresses in the bowl. Get the pasta in, and the corn you just toast in a pan until it's really dark and toasty. So you get those like roasty, toasty, kind of sweet notes. There's some dried oregano in there, which is, a really, really good dried herb. So that's one of my favorites. I took that to a friend's barbecue and it was the first dish to go. So I can vouch for its popularity. And I've made it heaps of times since developing it. So I recommend it highly, Wisconsin.
And this one has fresh herbs in it. Now, the main recipe has mint, but you say you can substitute basil. That started behind the scenes argument with me and producer Rochelle Wilson. I said, of course, I'm going to sub in basil for mint. That's going to be way better. She disagreed. I don't know. How do you settle that argument?
I mean, you know, there's a reason it's not in the ingredients, right? Is it in the ingredients?
Mint was the main one, and then basil was the substitution. Yeah.
Oh man, I know this recipe so well. It's a sub out. It's, you know, it's really up to you. But my preferred and the driving herb for me is fresh mint, which is one of my favorite herbs. And I like to use it in abundance. But lots of people don't like fresh mint. You know, it's quite an assertive flavor, but I think it works super, super well with all of those like roasty notes in the salad. And it's interesting because, you know, like if you look at that recipe, it doesn't look like a traditional pasta salad. And I think that's something I'm trying to change. I'm trying to demonstrate the breadth and diversity, both in, you know, the way they eat and the flavors, but also the way they look and because I think that changes the serving suggestion, right? It changes how you eat it and in what context, which is really important. It's a really cool recipe. And yeah, I'm honored to have it on the site. And I can't wait to hear what people think. Basil or mint, whichever.
We've got that at WPR.org/food. Tom Jackson is with us, chef, creative director, and co-creator of the food media brand Twisted. He's with us on Food Friday to share advice and recipes from his new cookbook. It's called Cool Pasta, Reinventing the Pasta Salad. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you gotten creative with a pasta salad recipe yourself? Do you have a pasta salad dish that is, like Tom's was, the first one to go when you bring it to a get-together? Hey, mayo, pro or con in pasta salad? There's no wrong answer. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up, pasta salads inspired by sandwiches or that can be eaten on sandwiches. This is Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Tom Jackson about his new cookbook. It's called Cool Pasta, Reinventing the Pasta Salad. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you come from a culture or a family that eats a lot of pasta salad dishes? Is there a special family recipe that you love to go to? Are there herbs, toppings you like to add into the mix? Do you need help salvaging your pasta salad game like I do? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Harry is with us in Milwaukee. Harry, hello.
Well, hi there. What a wonderful conversation you're having. And my question is about the type of pasta. Is it all interchangeable? Is the recipe that you use, does it need a specific pasta? For the only reason I ask that, when we make one from James Beard, and it calls for tri-colored rotini only. So is it interchangeable, or is it, you need to keep that?
Fantastic question, Harry. Tom, choosing the right pasta for a particular pasta salad recipe.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so hey, Harry. Yeah, great question. I'd say, well, first and foremost, James Beard, fantastic award. But I just think the tri-colored pasta is for the pictures, really. And what I would say in my book is you can use. So we exclusively cook bar one recipe with dried durum wheat pasta shapes. So that's your bow ties, your penne's, everything that you find in the supermarket. It's all good. But one thing we do need to think about is the texture. So if you're making a salad that has some, you know, chunky vegetables that you've roasted in there, you might want to go for a slightly smaller shape just to give you that contrast. You know, the idea is like when you're eating risotto, right? Risotto is one of my least favorite dishes. I apologize to everyone that loves it out there because it's quite samey, right? It's the same texture in every mouthful. And I want contrast. I want, you know, different textures happening. I want stuff on top. So, you know, you can use multicolored, non-multicolored bow ties, penne. You know, if it's like this, a similar size shape, you know, as in like small, medium, or large, then I think all of those really should be interchangeable because, you know, shapes are fun. And, you know, you don't want to get hung up on eating something delicious because, you know, the shape isn't the one that it says in the recipe. So I'd absolutely say go ahead and experiment with whatever you got, provided it's not wildly different. You know, if it's a long pasta shape, then maybe you're, maybe that's not quite right. But yeah. So yeah, you do you, I reckon, Harry.
Harry, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Tom, you've got a lot of sandwich references in your pasta salad in Cool Pasta. Some of your dishes are inspired by sandwiches. Some are meant to be eaten on sandwiches. Tell us the sandwich story behind a lot of these recipes.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a dedication to mayonnaise. All of my sandwich references. But yeah, one of my favorite chapters in the book is called Great Sandwiches. Of course, they are not great sandwiches, with the exception of one recipe. That one recipe is it's a brick chicken recipe. It's inspired by a recipe from Lebanon in Tripoli, where giant couscous is steamed and then fried. And then wrapped up in a Kobez wrap, like a Lebanese wrap. So it's an authentic recipe up to a point. Mine is non-traditional. It was very much inspired by that, but yeah, features some other ingredients that wouldn't feature in the original recipe. But you know, that's also a serving suggestion. I appreciate that, you know, pasta wrapped up in bread might push the carb conscious over the edge. So it's a serving suggestion. But yeah, the rest of the recipes in that chapter are all inspired by great sandwich eating experiences that I've had. And I think that chapter kind of encapsulates the way I like to cook, because I love drawing inspiration from other places, I guess. You know, I love cooking traditional recipes. But it can be quite heavy sometimes, because you're under the weight of so many years of history, and there are so many countless ways to do it that it can feel a bit overwhelming. So I'd say, generally speaking, the recipes are fusion recipes. And in the case of these sandwich recipes, what they do is it's pretty simple. They take the constituent ingredients from that sandwich and they apply it to a different carbohydrate, which is in my case, pasta. But I do it in this isn't a mashup. It's you know, I think carefully about how the ingredients might manipulate around pasta instead of, you know, in a sandwich. So it's not as cut and dried as, oh, right, he's just, you know, taken that bologna sandwich and chucked some pasta in there. It's a little bit deeper than that, I'd like to think. And hopefully I've given you some tips and some intro materials to kind of guide you through the thinking. But yeah, it's a bit more high concept. And yeah, I love it. It's super fun.
Food Friday. Tom Jackson is with us talking about his cookbook, Cool Pasta, Reinventing the Pasta Salad. Well, speaking of sandwiches, I've come to love a good tuna melt. And so I'm like going through your book. What's the first recipe? A tuna melt pasta salad. Tell us a little bit about this guy.
Yeah, right. So actually that recipe probably should have sat in Great Sandwiches, but it lives in a different chapter. It's one of my favorites in the book. One of the reasons is the timing. So, you know, sometimes when you're developing recipes, they don't quite work because, you know, the timing's out of whack and, you know, you're taking too long to wait, do one thing and something else is deteriorating or, you know, and it's just fussy. In this case, kind of by the time you've made one element, the other element is ready. And one element is a super simple kind of tuna salad. So, I like to use oil packed tuna, but you can use whichever tuna you like. And in there's lots of black pepper. You know, I like to think of tuna as kind of like a, you know, it's an assertive flavor, and not everybody loves it. I actually don't love it all that much, which is saying something because this is one of my favorite recipes. But yeah, it kind of acts as a backbone for all of the other, it adds body to the recipe. So you've got a tuna salad with parsley, lemon, lots of lemon zest, toasted black pepper. And then on the other side, you've got these crispy beans, and that's where the melt comes in, because we're using Parmesan to toss with these beans with lots of rosemary and capers. And all of those ingredients become crispy. Crispy rosemary is delicious. Crispy capers are delicious. And crispy beans are really exciting. Kind of like mini fluffy jacket potatoes. Do you call them jacket potatoes over there?
No.
Okay, fluffy potatoes. Let's
okay,
say.
Great. Okay, I was like, I don't even know what that is. Okay, great.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, one of the reasons why it's the first in the book is because it really kind of encapsulates everything that the book's about, which is interesting texture. And when you eat the two together, it's really exciting. There's a little bit of curry powder through the beans, which makes it taste a little bit interesting and different. It's really, really great. And again, for Harry, this is the shapes there are interchangeable. So it's kind of like you could use up to 6 different shapes as long as they've got frills on the edges and they catch those little flakes of tuna. That's when you can have some fun with the shapes that you've got. So love that recipe. Another great sandwich. Hopefully that's the first page that people cook from, and then they work their way through.
We have less than a minute left now. If somebody wants to wing it, they've got the pasta. What's a good base for, you know, a few ingredients to throw in and you're going to come out with a pretty good pasta salad?
Sure. Let's assume that you've got nice pasta or the pasta you love. Good olive oil is kind of non-negotiable. I don't think you should be making pasta salads with neutral oils, so like vegetable oil and sunflower oil, etc. I think a really nice olive oil is pretty key. You don't necessarily need to use that for cooking the ingredients that are going in the salad, but for a finishing oil, I think that's a really delicious flavor for pasta salads. Acid is absolutely crucial. Lemon is in so many of the recipes, both juice and zest. It's just such a good friend of pasta salad, whereas lime, for example, has a super tough time. So lime's out. Other acids like vinegars are delicious. I use about 4 or 5 different acids in the book. That's key. And then herbs. I mean, fresh herbs are in almost all of the recipes. In the corn one, we've got fresh and dried for that kind of contrast. If you've got fresh herbs and, you know, salt and olive oil, then all you really need is a seasonal vegetable, or you can just jump into the pantry and grab some of those jarred wonders, you know.
Excellent. Tom, yeah. We'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
I'd rather be nowhere else. Thank you so much, Rob.
That's Tom Jackson, chef, creator of the food media brand Twisted. He was with us on Food Friday to talk about his love of pasta salad and his new cookbook, Cool Pasta, Reinventing the Pasta Salad. We've got one of those recipes, the corn one, that's the name. You can find it at wpr.org/food. Make it this weekend. Let us know how it went.